As we begin to wrap up today, I want to encourage you to turn with me in your copy of the Scripture to Matthew chapter 28. As you do, I want to let you know again some of the things that have been going on with regard to this past year. Here's the year in review. On our building and grounds, we had our parking lot repaved. We secured a gazebo for the front lawn. We repaired the leaky canopy, if you don't remember that, what joy it was when it rained to be able to walk under that canopy and not have to worry about getting more on you than you were when you were in the rain. We repaired that leaky canopy. We've landscaped and done a lot of work to the yard, including moving the playground and all of the work that entailed in that. We've installed basketball hoops that have, by the way, since school has let out, has had a constant stream of young people coming to our campus just to play hoops. And we're able to play basketball with them or talk to them or ask them how things are going, and they're very responsive to us because of that. We built the sound booth in the back and did all the remodel to clean up the back of the auditorium, and we built storage above this office back here in order to help accommodate some of the work that that sound booth, or the storage that sound booth gave us before we remodeled it. In the last year, Nick at Night last year finished up with around 85, I think, kids that were involved, and as you know, that has started to build on itself. The job fair last July, we had 275 employable people here and 22 employers that we were able to minister to. Wonderful World of Wednesdays gave us contact with a lot of people who came just to hang out and just to have a good time, and with things like the petting fair, petting zoo, and things like that. We had a canoe trip last year to Algonquin Provincial Park, and we actually came back without some building being blown up. And that was a joy, and it was a great time getting to know the guys who were on that trip and bonding with them in terms of becoming great friends with those men. Last year, our youth group went to Snowbird in the fall, and they went to National Conference in the summer. They also went to Urban Hope last summer, and that was a life-changing experience for them. Among our adults, we went to the little missions trip with six ladies or seven ladies? Seven ladies and two men who went there and had a tremendous impact on their lives, and you heard a bit about that. Had other individual missions trips, including Tanya and John and others who went out on special missions trips this last year, and God used them in specific ways. The Fall Festival had around 300 people here over the course of the day, enjoying the grounds and having a great time just getting to know our church. Sometimes one of the biggest tasks is getting somebody on our campus so they find out where the front doors are and where the restrooms are and where the rooms are where the people meet. And just getting them here was a challenge and a blessing. We had a number of Christmas events that happened. And then in February, we took advantage of the movie The Passion of the Christ and had 275 people in an auditorium that were guests of ours to see the gospel acted out in that powerful, powerful movie. In response to that as well, this last year, we've had a number of things begin to happen within our church body by way of ministries. Frontline ministry began this last year, which is our follow-up ministry and calling ministry. One of our goals last year was to do a better job of follow-up and calling. Our men's ministry have had monthly breakfasts for the last year, and there's been opportunity for greater and increased prayer within our church ministry. One of the real blessings that we've enjoyed just in the last few months has been the college and career ministry that began with the Stevens and the Buckners, and those young people are really starting to gel and come together as a group. I encourage you, young people, if you're graduating from high school this last year, make this ministry part of what you do, because it's a significant ministry for you. But that's not all. There are all kinds of things that we talked about in the last year. We went through 2 Peter. We went through the life of Joseph last fall. We went through different metaphors of the church to understand what God expects of us as a church and why we should be be functioning the way that we do. We went through a series in conjunction with the Passion of Christ called Jesus. Gandalf, Gandhi, or God? Was he a myth? Was he just a good man? Or was he really the God of the universe? We recently finished up a series on prayer and what prayer means to us and how it should impact our lives. And now we're looking through the book of Malachi and what God wants us to learn from that very significant Old Testament book, which we will resume in 2 weeks. So what does all that mean for us in the coming year? Well, I've broken it down in three ways. First of all, I would like us to begin to think. I pray for the day when we see ourselves as a church that is invitational in nature. By that I mean we not only are friendly when people walk through the doors, but we're friendly when people see us for the first time. When they drive by our campus, they're attracted to us, they're drawn to us because we are invitational. When they see our people, they're drawn to us because we are invitational in the way that we function. In our church this last year, we had the parking lot repaved and we did a bunch of improvements on the building. A lot of times we think of that as if it's our own home. You know, we do this because we want it to look nice for us. But that's not why what our motivation was as a leadership. Our motivation as a leadership was we need to repave this parking lot, not only to spare the tires on our cars, but also in order to bring people give them a more invitational look to our campus. That's an outreach for us. When somebody drives by our campus and they see a beautiful parking lot and they see a beautiful grounds and they see a building that's kept up, what that's saying is here's a church that cares not only about us, but it cares about themselves, but about the community in which it lives. And so we want to be more invitational. We have been invitational because of the frontline ministry. And when people have come, we've followed up with them and encouraged them and thanked them for being here and a part of our fellowship. We've been involved more this year with personal invitations from our people. More and more people are coming because our people are inviting them, not because they found our name in the yellow pages. And I think that you'll agree that that is a far more powerful mission. The second thing that we need to be is not only invitational, but we need to be missional. By that I mean we need to recognize that we have a purpose. And our purpose isn't just to get here on Sunday morning and spend a bunch of time singing songs and listen to some guy talk. That's not why we are here. We are here to change lives by meeting people where they are and moving them to become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. For the most irreligious person, for the person who cares absolutely nothing about Jesus Christ, it is our task and our testimony to make them step one step closer to Jesus. For the person who has their application in for the next opening in the Trinity, it's our job to bring them one step closer to being like Jesus Christ. This past week, through the process of events in this church, we've had the opportunity of seeing three people come to know Jesus Christ because of this church's invitational and missional ministry. Jesus Christ is glorified when those kinds of things happen. And when we go through this type of a ministry and God starts to accomplish His will and His way in us, there are wonderful things that can happen because of that. This last week, a young man called from the hospital and there were difficulties with his wife being injured, and he said, "I just don't understand what God's trying to teach here." And I said to him, one of my favorite verses, "Let me explain to you what God's trying to teach. Here's what God wants you to learn. God wants you to learn that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose." But we often look at good as being that whole concept of how we see good. You know, it's the way that we want things to be. But God wanted to accomplish His will in His way in this person's life. And so as a result, God began to move and work in their lives in a whole different way than he ever expected. And I said to him, "You know, you haven't seen the whole story yet. You haven't finished the verse. Because verse 29 says, 'For those that he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his son.' so that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God wants you to learn through this situation how to be more like Jesus. He said, I've never seen that verse before. I've read it, but I've never seen it. We want to change lives by meeting people where they are and moving them one step at a time to become more fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. This young man began to understand better God's purpose for his life when he began to understand that God wanted to conform him to the image of his Son. That's a missional church. We are here because we have an opportunity to have a witness to a community that is lost and dying and going to hell, and they need Jesus. They need him in Korean-speaking peoples. They need him in Anglo-speaking peoples. They need him in Spanish-speaking peoples. They need him in every kind of people that is represented in this town. This town of Atlanta, I've told you before, is now a town that is almost the size, population-wise, as the then-known world of Jesus Christ. And we have that world at our doorstep, just giving us the opportunity to be missional. The third thing that I think God is calling for us in the next year is that we be a powerful church. How can we become more powerful in Jesus Christ? Well, we just finished a series on prayer, and in that we learned some very important issues. Number one, the battle is not fought in engaging the enemy on our feet. The battle is fought in engaging the enemy on our knees. When we look at Ephesians chapter 6, we're to put on the armor of God, and one of the strong parts of Ephesians chapter 6 is that whole issue of going to God in prayer and supplication for the needs of the saints. We as a church can be accomplishing so much more if we would just first commit these things to Jesus Christ in prayer. The second thing that I think will make us a more powerful church is when we recognize that God will do His will in us through evangelism. We can see so much more accomplished as we evangelize, as we begin to tell other people the good news. That's what evangel means, to tell people the good news of Jesus Christ. If you are praying for someone and you are laying their need before Jesus Christ every day in prayer, then you can't help but go tell them what Jesus Christ has done for you. And the end result is you will be able to then share with them how they can know Jesus as well. That's telling someone the good news. The third thing that we need to accomplish as a powerful church is have a worldview of missions. God has changed the scope of missionary work today. Not only is it sending out career missionaries like Brent Ropp and Mike Taylor and Greg Sermons and others like them, it is also the factor that God has made this a very small world because of airplanes and communications and email and all of those kinds of things. The internet and the transportation industry have made it very easy for us to be able to have an impact on a lost and dying world outside our scope of influence. That's why we believe in short-term missions. That's why we want to see short-term missions become a staple of our ministry here. That's why I'm excited about the guys that are going to Trinidad. Wish I could go with them. Because in the process of going there, we cross cultural barriers, as JC talked about. Going to Urban Hope is a crossing of cultural barriers. Going to Iowa is a crossing of cultural barriers. But as we do that, we cross a barrier that takes us into somebody else's world. And we show that we care. We show that we love them. And by having a world view of missions, we never again look at a map the same way. We begin to look at maps in this sense. What could Jesus be doing here? As many of you know, I've been over to Israel a few times, a couple of times, and I love going there. Not only because of the historical and the biblical significance of traveling there, but because of going there, it has changed my heart about Middle Easterners. Not just the Jews, but the Palestinians and all of the Arab nations and the opportunity that there is and the incredible darkness that is there. Well, you go there and you just see these religious people that don't know anything about the truth. It just opens the door of your heart. And you all of a sudden have a different view of what missions is. And I think the final thing in terms of being a powerful church is that we need to start recognizing that everybody has value. There is a sense in which everyone has value. I don't care who it is. When they walk through your door, when they walk through my door, I need to see what God wants me to see in them. I need to understand that God has placed them there for me to touch, for you to touch. So that when they walk through these doors and they come in and they sit and they're visitors and they're guests with us, they should not see a group of people who are so into themselves that they don't see people that care about them. They should see people that care so much about them that they forget about themselves. Matthew chapter 28, starting with verse 18. It says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples.'" And I really don't like that translation. The translation should be this. It's more accurate. "Having gone, make disciples." God has called us already. We are already on the path. We are already doing, or we should be doing, what God has called us to do. And in the process then, we make disciples. That concept of making disciples isn't this thing of sitting down with them one-on-one with a Bible study. That concept of making disciples is this. I'm going to so put my life into yours that you begin to imitate me as I imitate Christ. So if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, I'm going to put my life into yours so that you see value in coming to know Jesus Christ. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, I'm going to put my life into yours so much so that you begin to reflect the person of Jesus Christ in the way that I reflect him. And you begin to grow and you learn. So go, or having gone, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I don't care what it is about the Scripture that you need to learn, you should be able to find the answer to it in this church. It shouldn't just be, what does it mean to become a Christian? And it also shouldn't just be all kinds of theological jargon that only those that are on a higher theological plane would be able to understand. What you should be learning in this church is what you need to learn in order to grow in Jesus Christ. It should be hitting you right where you are, and it should be moving you to become a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. God has called us to be an invitational church, to be a missional church, and to be a powerful church. And I'm asking you today to commit yourself to joining us on the journey of a lifetime. It's not a trip, it's a life. When Hernando Cortes landed his ships in Mexico in 1519, he might have been concerned about a mutiny, we don't know. He might have been determined to explore the land before him, or he might have been thinking that he would never have need to return home. Whatever it was, he instructed his men to burn the ships that were in the harbor. One command, a few moments, and it was done. The land before them might have been full of deadly creatures, it might have been full of hostile natives or poisonous water, but at this point, there was no turning back. He left part of his men there on the coast and took the rest to find what is now Mexico City. There he found Montezuma, and the rest, as they say, is history. Luke 9:62 says, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." As a church, we believe that lost people matter to God, therefore they should matter to us. We believe that God wants people to reflect him, therefore they need to grow and change. We believe that every believer has a gift, therefore every believer has a ministry. And we believe that Jesus invested his life in others, therefore we need to invest our lives in other people. And because of those four things, along with our purpose, we encourage you to let the ships burn in the harbor and leave with us on the journey of a lifetime. This last year, we have been preparing ourselves to accomplish wonderful things. I believe that we've started to arrive at that point, and God is ready to start working. We need to be seeing within the next 4 years a church that is planted from this church. That's one of our goals. And we look forward to the opportunity that God is placing in our midst in order to plant churches for Jesus Christ. We cannot reach the city of Atlanta by ourselves. In fact, I believe we will reach the city of Atlanta far better with a series of smaller churches like ours than we will with one great big church, because we'll have a greater relationship with those within the community. We'll be right there where they are. We'll be their neighbors. We'll be their friends. We'll be the people that they go to school with, and their children go to school with our children. And God has put in our hearts as leadership to see something significant happen in that way by church planting. It won't all happen in my lifetime, but I pray that by the time I'm on my way to being with Jesus, that there are many, many Grace Brethren churches in the city of Atlanta teaching other people how to change lives by meeting people where they are and moving them to become fully devoted followers of Christ. In order to do that, we have to be a church that is invitational. We have to be a church that is missional. And we have to be a church that is powerful.